Dead Witch Walking by Kim Harrison. Narrated by Marguerite Gavin. Copyright 2007 by Kim Harrison. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with EOS, an imprint of HarperCollins Publishers. 1. I stood in the shadows of a deserted shopfront across from the Blood and Brew pub, trying not to be obvious as I tugged my black leather pants back up where they belonged. This is pathetic, I thought, eyeing the rain-emptied street. It was way too good for this. Apprehending unlicensed and black art witches was my usual line of work, as it takes a witch to catch a witch. But the streets were quieter than usual this week. Everyone who could make it was at the West Coast for our yearly convention, leaving me with this gem of a run. A simple snag and drag. It was just the luck of the turn that had put me here in the dark and rain. "Who am I kidding?" I whispered, pulling the strap of my bag farther up my shoulder. I hadn't been sent to tag a witch in a month, unlicensed, white, dark, or otherwise. Bringing the mayor's son in for wearing outside of a full moon probably hadn't been the best idea. A sleek car turned the corner, looking black in the buzz of the Mercury street lamp. This was its third time around the block. A grimace tightened my face as it approached, slowing. "Damn it," I whispered. "I need a darker door front." "He thinks you're a hooker, Rachel," my backup snickered into my ear. "I told you the red halter was slutty. Anyone ever tell you that you smell like a drunk bat, Jinx?" I muttered, my lips barely moving. Backup was unsettlingly close tonight, having perched himself on my earring. Big dangling thing. The earring, not the pixie. I'd found Jinx to be a pretentious snot with a bad attitude and a temper to match. But he knew what side of the garden his nectar came from, and apparently pixies were the best they'd let me take out since the frog incident. I would have sworn fairies were too big to fit into a frog's mouth. I eased forward to the curb as the car squished to a wet asphalt halt. There was the whine of an automatic window as the tinted glass dropped. I leaned down, smiling my prettiest, as I flashed my work ID. Mr. One Eyebrow's leer vanished and his face went ashen. The car lurched into motion with a tiny squeak of tires. "Day tripper," I said in disdain. "No," I thought in a flash of chastisement. He was a norm, a human. Even if they were accurate, the terms day tripper, domestic, squish, off the rack, and my personal favorite, snack, were politically frowned upon. But if he was picking strays up off the sidewalk in the hollows, one might call him dead. The car never slowed as it went through a red light, and I turned at the catcalls from the hookers I had displaced about sunset. They weren't happy, standing brazenly on the corner across from me. I gave them a little wave, and the tallest flipped me off before spinning to show me her tiny, spell-enhanced rear. The hooker and her distinctly husky-looking friend talked loudly as they tried to hide the cigarette they were passing between each other. It didn't smell like your usual tobacco. "Not my problem tonight," I thought, moving back into my shadow. I leaned against the cold stone of the building, my gaze lingering on the red taillights of the car as it braked. Brow furrowed, I glanced at myself. I was tall for a woman, about 5'8", but not nearly as leggy as the hooker in the next puddle of light over. I wasn't wearing as much makeup as she was either. Narrow hips and a chest that was almost flat didn't exactly make me streetwalker material. Before I found the leprechaun outlets, I had shopped in the Your First Bra aisle. It's hard to find something without hearts and unicorns on it there. My ancestors had immigrated to the good old U.S. of A. in the 1800s. Somehow, through the generations, the women all managed to retain the distinct red hair and green eyes of our Irish homeland. My freckles, though, are hidden under a spell my dad bought me for my 13th birthday. He had the tiny amulet put into a pinky ring. I never leave home without it. A sigh slipped from me as I tugged my bag back up onto my shoulder. The leather pants, red ankle boots, and the spaghetti strap halter weren't too far from what I usually wore on casual Fridays to tick off my boss. But put them on a street corner at night? Crap, I muttered to Jenks. I look like a hooker. His only response was a snort. I forced myself not to react as I turned back to the bar. It was too rainy for the early crowd, and apart from my backup and the ladies down the way, the street was empty. I'd been standing out here nearly an hour.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?